And now will you turn with me to Paul's letter to the Colossians, and we shall read part of chapter 2, reading the first 7 verses. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith that ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I would direct your attention especially to the words of verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and grounded. The burden that is on my heart this evening is that of a message on the reality of the divine in Christian experience, the reality of the divine in Christian experience, God real in the midst of human personality. So our thought will center round the word in him. And we shall consider what it really means to be in Christ. It's a day when we move in the midst of much that is shallow and unreal. We shall endeavor to show the extraordinary help what it really means to be a Christian. Is a Christian just a man who makes a decision and endeavors as best he can to live up to it? Or is a Christian a supernatural being who has had a supernatural experience and is so supernaturally altered that godliness will characterize every part of his being, body, soul and spirit, the moment he's born again? A Christian experience that many of us believe in. A New Testament Christian experience. Now those of you who are familiar with this part of the New Testament story will remember that the apostle had a great and a holy concern for the young converts of the church at Colossae. You will also remember that the believers there had their lot cast in a city that was wholly given over to idolatry. Indeed, all that it refreshes and to a life lived where the stream of vital Christianity runs low, was involved in their being there. time that could be found within this city. Faith and faithful brethren. One naturally asks, what was the secret of their faithfulness? How could they, with honesty and sincerity, be regarded as the faith of God? Now it seems to me that we have the answer in the word Jesus Christ. Each Colossian was a seer of their fire and the field of their testing. Christ was the seer of their resolve, and in him they were more than conquerors. I remember many years ago when I was a student in Edinburgh, hearing the late Professor Slow gave an address on the faith in Colossae. And here are words from that great address. The faith in Colossae carried about with them a private atmosphere, an atmosphere that was not of Asia Minor, but of heaven. They found their locality in God. My dear people, that is the seat of effective Christian witness and Christian service in Christ. A Christ-centered life. My dear people, that is without question, the unseen of a Christian experience. Now you will notice that in this portion which I read, Paul is giving them counsel concerning their behavior and their walk and growth in grace. And he has therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so was he in him. That suggests to me that growth in Christian experience implies life. The Colossians here have received just as Jesus did not evolve in history, he came into history. He does not evolve in me. I'm not made such by baptism, or by confirmation, or by anything organized or arranged by man. They do not produce life. Oh, we want to be clear about that. Thus, if he did not evolve in history, he does not evolve in me. He comes in, suggesting that their experience was Christ-centered and right conscious. Now this to Paul and to them was a unique experience, a miracle, indeed a unique work of God. Faith is represented as received feeding him as a life of faith. Just me receiving him. I can remember this feeling all so well. That night when I received I'd been to a dance and a concert. I left the dance under terrible conviction of sin, walked 3 miles to the farm, went out to the barn, fell on my knees among straw prepared for the horse in the morning, and cried to God for mercy and God's favor. God came into my life. It was a miraculous experience. It was a supernatural experience. I could only explain it on the basis of miracles. The cause of a Christian is a supernatural being. If he is born again, he has had an experience that can only be explained on the basis of miracles. All that truth were proclaimed in these days of shallow thinking, days when evangelism is producing too often harvests of infinite. We want to proclaim that a Christian is a person possessed by the light of God. I'm sure Oscar Chambers is right in stating that Christian experience just means this: God the Holy Ghost bringing the personality of God to be so incorporated in my personality that I suddenly discovered that a powerful possession that was never there before. Of course, it just means, it implies a sense of realization. Jesus has the name. If you buy that little book, you will find a testimony in it by a Mistress Hayes. She's the wife of Dr. Hayes. Both of them were converted in the revival. Both of them are laboring now in Thailand under the auspices of the China Inland Mission Fellowship. I can well remember the night that famous cloud, that was her name, then came to know the Savior. He was asked 3 or 4 years after that, after graduating in Glasgow University, with honor. He was asked to address the General Assembly, about 700 or 800 ministers. And in course of her address, speaking of the reality of God, he said this: that night something came to me that could not be explained on the basis of the human. My dear people, have you got that? Have you something tonight that cannot be explained on the basis of the human? Miracle? Supernatural? God? Oh, it implies a sense of realization. I have found him. I have found him. Oh, that is language that takes you beyond mere decision or human resolution. I have found him whom my soul loves. Oh, how few they are today, who in the hour of decision have become conscious of a new and overpowering as this sense of Jesus, this consciousness of God. I'm not sure whether you have heard anything about the movement among young people on the island of Lewis again. I had a letter from a minister just a few days ago telling me all the numbers that went forward for the first time to the communion, and most of them young people. Some time ago, during an address given by Miss Morrison, you had here some time ago, God the Holy Ghost moved into the midst of the convention in the town. And within a matter of minutes, at least seven young people were crying to God for mercy. The meeting continued till 11:30. By that time, this gracious consciousness of God gripped the souls of those young people. And after the meeting, they went out to the streets of the town to try and win other young people to Christ. And what was their battle cry? What was the truth that they proclaimed to young people whom they met on the street? Oh, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. And then you must flee from the rock that comes to find you. And as a result of that witness, on the streets of Thornwood, a movement began that is now moving in ever so many parishes. Now I spoke to a minister at the General Assembly in Edinburgh. And I asked him, now what is the secret of? We haven't had any special meeting, any special effort in your parish. Yes, young people are being saved in the score. That was the case of Bodenland, saved in the score. You know what he said? It all sprang from the reality of the Lord Jesus in the lives of young people who found Christ during the revival. My dear people, have you got that? It sprang from the reality of Jesus in the lives of young people who found Jesus during the revival. The Holy Spirit had entered, and they were born of God. Oh, tell me, tell me. Is that your experience? Is that your experience? Or are you moving under a self-created delusion on the basis of having made a decision? Does your life correspond to the decision you made? Bearing about the thought, bearing about in my body the dying of Jesus. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest through my mortal flesh, not through my soul, not through my emotions. Oh, God moves there. Thank God for his moving in the emotions. Man is essentially an emotional being. And when God moves into his personality, every aspect of personality is caught up in God, including the emotions. The minister left a meeting during the revival, saying that he was sick listening to so many people cry. Just you think, he was sick listening to so many people cry. You very seldom see him today. Men, women, under deep conviction, cry to God for nothing, the emotion moves. Ah, but this is something deep, bearing about in my body. The dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest through my mortal flesh. I met a young man in Ireland some time ago, and he said something to me that remains with me to this day. He was speaking of a certain farmer. He says, one morning I saw God walking about the farm, said in Dongaree. What? in me. God in Jumbery. The job meant that Arnold was bearing about in his body the dying of Jesus and the life also of Jesus made manifest through the body covered by Jumbery. Oh, my dear people, may I ask again, is this your experience? Can you say with honesty and with sincerity, I know this mind, this presence? I said repeatedly to the students younger in the college that this realization of Jesus, this consciousness of God, my personality, this nearness of the Savior, is as great a verity as any other fact of human consciousness. And I would say against it on its subjective side, the ways of modern thought. I know his mind. Once I was blind, now I see. Once I was dead, now I'm alive. And I know. Oh, tell me, brother, tell me, sister, is that your experience of Jesus? We need to proclaim this truth today. When we are being offered a Christianity that is easy, as an accommodation to an age that is unwilling to face the implications of Calvary and listen to the voice of the Master that cries, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I heard a young man give his testimony some time ago. I directed a conference of young people in a certain conference center here in England. Now I was startled by what he said. He said, I have discovered since my decision that the Christian way of life can best be explained as a song mingled with happy laughter in some country glade with the birds. I listened to it and felt a shiver going through my whole being. The element of battle, of fight, of separation, of self-denial was eliminated. A song mingled with the sound of happy laughter. Thank God there's happy laughter in Christian experience. Thank God there's a song. Maybe could try you put a new song in my mouth. Of course, the Christian is happy. But life at the center of his life. There's a battle. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The enemy is there to be met, to be defeated. It's a battle. It means separation. It means self-denial of the sin that thinketh he standeth. Take heed lest he fall. Not the song of happy or happy laughter keeps me there, but the saving grace of God, the dynamic of divinity at the very center of my life, Jesus expressing himself as the mighty conqueror. Oh, my dear people, is this your experience? Are you absolutely certain that you're born again? Oh, the number of people, I was in an Anglican church some time ago, thank God for the men who know the pagan nature. But today, the most evangelical church in England, and it evolved, I don't think I'm tired, but I was in one such church, and one evening, the Lord moved in. In a very remarkable way. I made no appeal. I felt that we had gone beyond making an appeal. Something that happened in the church that really suggested no need of an appeal. But the rector, who was chairing the meeting, gave us a hymn. It's a hymn that I had in my mind for the closing moment of the day. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I stand. Jesus, I stand. He paused there and said, I wonder who is coming. Oh, then a lady rose from the middle of the church. She was a matron in a local hospital. She walked up the aisle. And she said to the rector, can I kneel here as she knelt in front of the communion table, to be followed by 17 others, including the rector. And I can still see that dear man coming up to the rector and saying, I've been a verger for 11 years. Tonight I realize that I'm a stranger to saving grace, and I want to know Jesus. And there, before midnight, I believe 18 souls, I would say between the ages of 25 and past 50, came into vital relationship with Jesus and transformed the church. Oh, tell me, friends. No, I feel this deep to me. I feel it deep to me that there are souls and souls who are living under the self-created illusion because of something that happened, something that they did. It may have been in the church here, it may have been in your assembly, but all healthy. That is the master of all. And remember that story. That tells of that dear woman with the issue of blood. Remember what it said. She knew in her body that she was healed at that place. And we agree. We say, yes, of course, she knew it happened. But did you notice this? That it is also said, he knew in himself that virtue had gone out. In my very Bible, it says, and power went out. When did he know that he was healed of that plague? In that supreme moment, when power left in the possession, spirit of all. Only God help us to be sincere, with honesty and with sincerity. As a young man, this happened during a gracious move in the 7th Presbyterian Church of Scotland, which passed some years ago. This young lad that I was telling you is now lying on the aisle of the church. He graduated after that in classes in a bachelor's College and is now a parish minister in the city. But I remember the night of that lad crying with fear, among others in the aisle of the church, not on their knees, but on their feet, on their feet. And he cried, oh Jesus, whatever it cost, they may be. Oh Jesus, whatever it cost, make me real. that cry of that young fellow, the wife of a police sergeant in the city, was converted. The following day she went among her friends in the city and brought over 20 of them, and between 9 and 11:30 that night, 21 of them were saved. Paul of this cry for the Arab, and I believe that we Bible stand in order when God finds the people that are weak, that are weak. But you will notice that Paul suggests that growth in Christ advance. Walk ye in him. Now it is of interest to note two words that he uses here. The root is and this. Rooted and this. Now, first of all, might I suggest that in the word rooted, you have the subjective aspect of salvation, the subjective aspect of sanctification, that speaks of the great work of the Holy Ghost as done in the deep regions of my personality. In the deep regions. My dear people, that is where the Holy Ghost begins to work. Right down, right in the midst of chambers where polluted things hold empire, over the soul, and there's a cry for deliverance, there's a longing for cleansing. I remember when that happened to me, under very, very strange circumstances, in the midst of a cavalry charge in the front line of war, outside of Amiens, the last cavalry charge of the British Army, a real charge. I was wounded and I'm lying on the ground. I'm bleeding profusely and I believe I'm dying. Oh, I was conscious that I knew. Thus I was born again. I knew I was saved. But I also knew that nothing unclean was against me. And I knew, I so often heard my father pray, without holiness, no man shall see God. And I confess at that moment, and holy, and holy. Oh, the carnal mind, the corrupt heart, the cry for deliverance and cleansing. In the miraculous way, a trooper of the Canadian horses mounted. After the charge was over, he lifted me on the horse's back and galloped to the nearest casualty clearing station. On that horse's back, believing that I was dying, I prayed, God, make me as holy as a saved sinner can be. Again, Father's prayer, make me as holy as a saved sinner can be. Listen, dear people, oh, you may not believe in a second death and the work of grace in your soul, you will need to argue. Or endeavor to argue the years of that. I believe it. And I believe that it's taught in the Word of God. And I believe what Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones said recently, the man who proclaims that you get everything at conversion is teaching error. And we regard him as probably one of the greatest theologians in Britain today. And that holds back to Catholic. Right into my life, down through the avenues of my personality, into the bitter of hell, for to the things, hold and held empire. Where Saul was there to deny and defy every good operating principle in my life. A foul resident within that was more than a match for me. All this. In and draw deliverance and cleansing and a power in the Holy Ghost that I've never known before. Do you know that evening in the casualty clearing station, I tasted to us all your soul. And in this connection, we discover what it means to move into the ultimate reality of God in sanctifying operation. What is it? Well, you have it in verse 10, to be complete in death. You see, Paul is there teaching the young believer that there is a completeness in which God now sees nothing to tempt. Oh, you say that these are confidence. My dear friend, do you read the Old Testament? Do you read the Old Testament? A new heart also lies in and a new spirit lies in you. And I will be amazed that so many hearts the heart has left and will give you a new heart. I'm sure that Charles Wesley was right when he said the word, he well canst not cleanse from every stain by dying, and my faith is stained. But thank God he can cleanse. Oh, he can cleanse. He can cleanse. But let us be. Oh, I'm so glad that my Bible doesn't say the blood of Jesus Christ counteracts. Nor does it say the blood of Jesus Christ suppresses. Suppresses. He does. Does. No. These are words that have been coined by man and frequently used at our convention today, but I make bold to say there is no hiding whatsoever in the vocabulary of heaven. All that speaks the scripture, that speaks the word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses. And cleanses from all sin, from all, you know, what a Savior, what a deliverance. I tell you that experience revolutionized my life. Indeed, were it not for it, I wouldn't be here today. After a year and a month in hospital, I went out to talk about Jesus in the villages of Agai. Thank God for an experience that brings emancipation. And I tell you, after years of experience, I can say free, so long as I walk in the light, so long as I maintain the attitude of absolute surrender to the will of God, so long as I bow before my Savior, recognizing the Lord over my life, I'm one with Him. And power on the basis of this intervention. When I say that, I'm not preaching absolute perfection or sinless perfection. That belongs to Him and to Him alone. But I am preaching because I believe in conditional perfection. Conditional. If we walk in the light, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses and cleanses from all sin. I love to talk about Barnabas. You know what he said about Barnabas? It says often that he was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. What a man, what a personality. If he was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, he couldn't be filled with anything else, and he couldn't have a cause, because when God says fool, Aaron's personality is possessed by God, and God says he's fool. That's all. Now here you have the object of Archbishop sanctification. And it speaks of something visible. Something that indicates a change from worldliness to godliness, from sinfulness to separation. After all, is it not true what McShane said that a Christian is just a passion that makes it easy for others to believe in God? There's something seen, there's something visible, there's something now appearing in the village, in the home, in the church, that Christ allows it is the work of God. Tell me, friend, is that true? When D.L. Moody was in Edinburgh, he was assisted by the late Dr. Henry Drummond, a man that was mightily used of God in those days. And Dr. Henry Drummond, addressing students in Edinburgh University, said this: "This is the stupendous victory and mystery of regeneration that mortal man should suggest to the world God." Have you got that? That mortal man should suggest to the world God. Oh, tell me, God. Tell me this. Is this life of mine suggesting God? I remember one night when five young drunkards, desperate characters, were saved in a parish church during the revival. Three of them are ministers today. One was inducted recently. Three of them that I'm referring to in the Christian church, drunk. 2 o'clock in the morning, there were both of them saved. Three of them are ministers today. How was it that happened? A young bus conductor on the bus saw the state that they were in, knew that she was a companion with them in the ways of sin, a sorting priest, but now saved by the grace of God. She pitied them, and addressing one of the young men, said this: "I'm sorry to see you in such a state." That young man will tell you today that it was something that he saw in the face of that young girl who cried aloud, "It is the work of God," that moved him to say to the other folk, "We'll forget about the bar and we'll go to the church." And they went to the church and the five of them were saved, three of the ministers. The secret and mystery of regeneration that mortal man should suggest to the world. Oh, this one word is the condition on which this life is made possible. Christ Jesus the Lord. You will notice that the new element that has entered was the Lordship of Jesus. King of my life, I crown thee now. Oh, you say, but that's the true strategy. You preach at your Bangor convention and at your conferences for the deepening of spiritual life, the Lordship of Christ. That's the truth that they proclaim at Keswick. Yes? But do you believe that any soul can be born again that is not prepared to recognize the Lordship of Christ? I don't believe, and I say this on the basis of the Word of God, I don't believe that one single soul can be saved until he's prepared to recognize the Lord of life over of Christ over his life. That means self-denial, it means following Christ, it means obeying Christ, it means separating from the world, turning to Jesus, the full part of the pastor's servant. You mean to tell me that a person can be saved who is not prepared to do that? No more than the devil. Oh, he can make a decision. He can have his emotions stirred. He can sing choruses. He can join this group and that other group. But he's a child of the devil. Unless he's born again,
make a Sunday school teacher of. He'd even make a minister. So long that we can keep him from having a supernatural experience of a new birth. Oh, my dear people, blessed are we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, God, see him recognizing his lordship over your life. His lordship over your life. I was listening to an outstanding missionary, one of the men who escaped death in Congo. He was shot, fell as though dead. His companion standing beside him got the bullet through his heart, dead. We were listening to this man, Edinburgh. Turned and moved to the depth of my heart when he told us that since that awful massacre in Congo, we have only had two missionaries offering for service, and two of them were women. And I believe that the reason for the slowness and the unwillingness of young men to offer themselves for Christian service, it is just because they refuse to acknowledge the love of Christ over their life. They didn't recognize it when they made their decision. Consequently, Jesus is not the center of their life. Oh, young people, I now appeal to you, young people. Are you prepared to recognize the Lordship of Jesus tonight? Are you prepared to say, God, if I haven't been real, make me real tonight. If I haven't been fully surrendered, enable me to surrender everything tonight. At every cost, go through with God. As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so God, Jesus, I believe this truth was proclaimed and accepted by young men and young women. Thousands would be screaming to hell at this moment. In the foreign case, or screaming to hell in our native land. Because the life also of Jesus they manifest through our mortal flesh because we refuse to recognize his body. Only God has